So welcome, everyone, to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host. And today we have with us my new friend, Elizabeth Phelps. And we're going to be speaking about the new paradigm of public speaking, how brain research is going to help us change the world. And you folks are going to be so excited to hear Elizabeth. She's got great information for you. But before we get started and diving into the content and having a great time, let's just take a moment to connect and really expand the possibility of what you can get from our call today. So if you've been seated, it's always wonderful to stand on your feet. My friend Terry Guitar has told me that there's actually some brain research, and I have to find out from her exactly what it is, about how when you stand and you do these energetic practices, how it is different. So I'm going to find out what that is for you, because I know I'm curious. But there's something for me, just intuitively, I know that my power comes more online, and I feel and sense myself more expanded. So take a nice deep breath, and exhale. And on that exhale, just allow your knees to soften, your shoulders to relax, and just feel like you're coming fully home. So that all of you is awakening, alive. And there is more that you can sense, feel, and know about this conversation beside what you just processed through your intellect, which you're going to get plenty of information. But just open to the awareness that we're all connected, that we have this collective intention about being business in a conscious and awakened way, that we're here to power up our message and empower the world in so doing it, and that who you are and what you deliver is a gift, and that there are those people who are eager to receive it. And in your giving and their receiving, there's a wonderful exchange, and we're all more as a consequence. And as each one of us comes more online with our conscious business, we shift not only our own world, but everything that our world touches. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. That was great.
You're welcome. Yeah, connection is the gig, isn't it, Elizabeth?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, let me just introduce you to some folks who you may, some folks may be new to Elizabeth Phelps. She's the founder of Inspired Leadership Training, and she's achieved national attention for her proprietary system for getting revolutionary results from platform based on the latest brain research. In addition to helping coaches, speakers, authors, and other conscious experts develop most original and advanced onstage speaking skills so they successfully change the world, she also teaches them to deliver offstage business messages that stand apart from all others and create urgency to buy. And that is an area, Elizabeth, that is just, I think that that's the missing link. I would just love to start off with you right there. Welcome. I'm so excited to have you here. And
me too.
A quick story for everyone. I met Elizabeth through a tweet that my buddy Lou Bortone put out. And so I checked it just because the title, you know, just drew me in, because it's on my radar. Public speaking is on my radar now because I know it's pulling me. It's something that's calling for my attention. And so I want you to notice what pulls you, what calls you, what's magnetic. And so I followed that link, and I read, you know, the offer page, the sales page, and I watched her videos, and I, like, fell instantly in love with this woman. And I was like, oh, my God, who is she? I've got to meet her. I need to have her on my telesummit right now. And so I emailed Elizabeth, and this is the thing about when things are lined up for you and your business and your message and what you're up to in the world. Elizabeth instantly emailed me back. We were on the phone probably that same day.
Well, we were on the phone within about 10 minutes.
I know.
I couldn't believe. You were like, can we talk right now? And I was like, sure. It was 5:30 on a Friday night. I didn't really, you know, have anything to do for a couple hours. And
I know. It was just extraordinary. And then there was this energy, this synergistic energy that just kept expanding and expanding, and I got more excited the more that I spoke with her. And so I'm just pointing that out because each one of us knows the yes in our bodies.
Yeah.
Each one of us knows how to follow that magnetic pull. And so when those things occur, know that that's for you. So I just wanted to share that, first of all, the power of social media and the power of when two conscious entrepreneurs line up.
Yes,
the beautiful
absolutely.
Things that can happen
yeah.
and can occur. Yeah. So I did want you to speak just a bit about this because I know that aside from doing this fabulous public speaking, your background, you've got an extraordinary background. And I know that you help people have their business messages stand up. So can you just kind of tell us a little bit about, like, the path that brought you here to this fantastic message that you're getting out now around this brain sticky presentation work that you do?
Okay. Gosh, well, I will tell you the most condensed but interesting version of it. And that is that 12 years ago, my husband bought me a book for Christmas. And actually, my mother was supposed to buy it for me, but she had maxed out her Christmas quota, so present quota. So it defaulted to him. And it was a book that somebody had recommended that I get. I read that book starting on December 26th, and I finished it on January 1st, so that's 6 days. In those 6 days, my entire world got turned upside down, inside out, and everything that I had been was rearranged, literally in 6 days. And when I closed that book, I knew two things. One was that I had to leave my marriage, and I was in a very good enough marriage and with a salt-of-the-earth guy who was going to provide me financially every step of the way for the rest of my life. And we certainly had a lot of things in common, but I knew when I closed that book that we were not going to now be able to journey together. And the second thing I knew when I closed that book was that I was here to change the world. And, you know, it's still 12 years later gets kind of caught in my throat when I say that because of my Protestant upbringing, probably, not to be too big. But at any rate, that was the intense calling after reading that book. And before that, I was writing fiction, and I had a very different life path, and everything literally changed in 6 days. So I stopped reading fiction, stopped writing fiction, and started traipsing off into the future, into an extraordinary future that I had envisioned for myself. And, of course, it did not work out that way at the beginning at all. And I left my husband, and I had some dark nights of the soul, for sure. And I was still searching for that way that I was going to change the world. And I came across coaching, which felt like my father was a minister and my mother was a therapist, and it felt like just this perfect blend of the two of them and of me. And so I became certified through IPAC 9 years ago, and I always knew coaching was a stepping stone to helping to change the world. And then, like you, about 5 years in, I started getting this calling to be more in front of audiences like my father had been. My father was a very passionate, incredible minister, and I felt almost like he was pushing at me from the inside. And I went to a training where they were using accelerated learning techniques on us, and I felt madly in love with how I felt having them be used on me, and I said, I have to learn to do what they're doing, and then I want to teach it, because I know this will change the world. This will change the world. When you can move audiences like this, then the world will be changed. And so I did. I went and I was certified in that style of accelerated learning. And then I really delved into educational science as well as neuroscience, and really delving into how the brain learns and how it remembers, how it processes, what grabs its attention, how to create neuronal circuits, that whole thing. And I really condensed all of that information, educational science, neuroscience, my coaching background, my marketing, I mean, everything really kind of came into play, my writing experience, into creating the two-day training that I now give in public speaking on brain-based public speaking. I've been giving it for over 3 years now, and that's what got me to that part of the brain, stickiness. But the next level came when people would come off the stage, off of my training. They would want to work with me more to help them develop their own experience, as I call it. I don't call them presentations. I teach everybody to call them experiences, and they are actually experience makers, not presenters. And when I was helping them create their experiences, I came naturally to the question about, well, who's your market? Who will you be speaking to? What is your business overall? What is your long-range plan? Where does this experience fit in everything? And they would look at me like a deer in the headlights, and they wouldn't know anything really about their business. And that's when I called on my marketing background from years and years and years ago in my graduate or my bachelor's of science, pulled on my marketing background and started really taking everything that I had been doing in my life and making sure that coaches and other experts are speaking and using brain-sticky information when they're talking to their clients. So that's where the on-stage came from, and then it morphed into off-stage messages because you have to know your business and where any kind of quote-unquote presentation fits into your long-range plans and who is going to be in the room and all of those basic questions that too many coaches do not think through. And so I created another program that has them really think before they speak. So I hope that gives you a condensed version of how I got to be where I am right now.
Yeah, and you know what I love too when I'm hearing, Elizabeth, is that it also really illustrates how those of us that are entrepreneurs, how every training, every experience that we've ever had, when we hit that groove of what it is that we're next to do, how it all comes together seamlessly.
Yes.
You know, it's like none of those experiences, none of those trainings, none of those, you know, titles that we ever had ever go to waste.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I used to think that I was rather capricious, you know, that, oh, wow, I'm not very grounded because, you know, I was passionate about marketing and advertising when I was in college, and I was going to be, you know, one of the best copywriters on Madison Avenue, and then that switched over to being the best-selling novelist, and then that moved over to coaching, and it's like, well, what's wrong with me? You know, there was a time when I definitely thought that way, and now it's like, oh, my goodness, every single one of those I use every single day now.
Yeah, there's not a thing wrong with you. That's just that's what fuels, you know, your creativity fuels your work in the world, and it all informs the next piece that you're delivering. I love it. So I really wanted you to share that because I knew I had read some of this stuff about you, and I was like, whoa, we really have to bring this out because many folks think that there's something wrong with them. Because they're like this. And so, folks, you might consider you're just entrepreneurial.
Right, exactly, and unemployable.
Yes, definitely unemployable. So, anyway, I wanted to move on. You say on your website that that visionary entrepreneurs have a different business path, and we've been talking a little bit about this, you know, just in what we just said. So they're not like other business owner types, and you've got a specific four-part path. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, I'll share the four-part path, but I'll explain what I mean when I say that visionary entrepreneurs or conscious entrepreneurs are really different than other business owners. And the reason that they're different is because they have to create transformation. Now, dog groomer down the street, or even a financial planner doesn't necessarily have to create transformation. But the visionary entrepreneurs, that's their burning calling. Their burning mission is to make some major change and be at the helm of making some major changes in the world. And in order for change to happen, there has to be transformation. So they have to learn also how to do that, how to transform, But first, of course, and this is what so many other people are certainly focusing on, but you have to get your business straight. So the way that conscious entrepreneurs are like all other business owners is that they have to get their business up to speed and be really brain sticky and compelling and purchased, right, where people are eager to continue in buying that business. But where conscious entrepreneurs go and veer off in another direction after that is they have got to know how to stir people and have them actually change. And I think that too many people are actually not skilled in that and need to get some understanding of what it means to literally change somebody. So I, in a sense, I have a four-part path, and in a sense, they kind of, the two areas break up. So the first two areas that of the path that I teach are how to have a brain sticky business, to make sure that your business is absolutely wanted by others and by the right market, by a hungry market, and that you are completely different from everyone else out there, not just everyone in your field, but just period, everybody else out there, period. And I have a very, very special system for creating that. And then the second path is launching, right? Just really launching and making sure that when you're out there, all of your marketing messages are brain sticky. So when you're speaking in social media or on your blog or anywhere in a 30-second elevator pitch, that what you're speaking and saying is really, really compelling and original and memorable. So that's part. That's the second part of the path. Then we move in third and fourth parts of the path are that transformation piece. The third piece is really making sure that your information products are going to stir people, that they are going to create some kind of shift in people, and that they're brain sticky. So that's the third part of the path, is really looking at your information products, not just putting slapping something together, but making sure it's going to be very compelling and also shift people. And then the last part of the fourth thing is presenting yourself, being out there in the world on the stage to audiences, and not only being the most amazing teacher you can be, because that's what my specialty is making sure that you're teaching to the brain, but making sure you're transforming from the stage. So conscious entrepreneurs really need that other piece as well, the how to transform, and, of course, how to make their businesses desirable.
Yeah, that's such a key piece too, because you're right. We do have this pull to transform that does distinguish us from other like brick and mortar businesses. And from as someone who leads teleclasses, I was fascinated by this idea that we can actually structure our presentations, our experiences, and this is one of those areas of resonance that I had with you immediately, because when I run my own programs, they're mostly experiential, because I found that that's really how you shift.
Yes, right.
It's the intellect is awesome for processing, evaluating, you know, and all of that, but the actual shift happens in the experience, so that really, really spoke to me. So I wondered if you could just you know, I just came back from a conference, which was actually kind of cool, and a little different than some of the ones that I've attended before. But can you go into, you said this thing that made me really laugh. You said that 99% of presentations are old school. And so I wanted you to explain, what does that mean, 99% of presentations are old school?
Okay. Well, I do a 90-minute teleclass where I say in my marketing leading up to the 90-minute free teleclass, I say there are four cultural influences that are working on you subliminally that are causing you to be ineffective utterly and very mediocre with your audiences. And I can tell everybody what they are here. It's no problem. But they are all, every single one of them, come from the Middle Ages. And you will recognize yourself in using all of these, because they are entrenched in our culture, especially here in America. The first influence, cultural influence, that is from the Middle Ages is Puritanism. The idea, the Puritans, actually I need to back up just enough to say that what I say in this 90-minute teleclass is that our speaking system has evolved out of our educational system. I always ask everybody at the 90-minute teleclass, so where did we learn how to be in front of an audience from? Where did we learn this from? And everybody says teachers. Right? So we learn from little age of kindergartners how to be in front of a room. And so these four influences that I'm going to go through quickly with you right now are all come from the educational system. And we have learned to be speakers from them. And we are absolutely ineffective and mediocre when we model and mimic them. And we are, because we don't know any better. That's the old paradigm. So the first one is Puritanism. The Puritans were the very first people to create a mandatory school system. And the Puritans were unbelievably dry and serious and boring. And there was no fun at all in their entire culture. So, of course, there would be no fun in the classroom. And to this day, I have a daughter who's in ninth grade, and to this day, fun is absolutely considered antithetical to learning. Any kind of joy in the room is considered antithetical to learning. Most of us are very, very afraid of it in any kind of learning information room, including presentations, without a doubt. So one of the things I do at my two-day event, we have something called Fun Night on Friday night, which is all about purging the Puritan. Because the Puritan, I have found over the years, is the influence that people cling to no end. They want to be very mature. They want to be very intellectual. They think that that's what's professional. Certainly, when you are delivering material, that's the way you should be delivering your material, because it is professional. Instead of freely self-expressed, fun, energetic, powerful, emotional, all of those things. And so my mission is to really purge the Puritan in anybody who comes toward me or around me. So that's the first influence. And it is very old, old, old school. And it comes from 1492 when Columbus sailed the whatever. I should know that by now. And all of the Puritans came along, right, and created that environment for us. The second influence that it makes everything old school is individualism. America is very proud of its stance on being individuals. Ever since the gold rush, you know, we were rushing out to the West and staking our, you know, putting stakes in our land, and it was ours, and there was not this camaraderie, and there wasn't community. And if you go to, of course, other cultures around the globe, they have more tribal community feels to them, and that's how their culture is, but not here in America. And that created the kind of school systems we have, where kids are learning in isolation, very solo learning. And, of course, that's what happens when we're in presentations. We're sitting there in our seats, we're listening, and we're learning all by ourselves, pretty much. There isn't this collaboration. So that's what the second thing that makes everything unbelievably old school. And the third thing is, and that comes, individualism is also from the start of the U.S. And then as well, the third one is the separation of mind and body. And we can thank Descartes for that. And that was from the, you know, 1600s. He was around in the 1600s. And he told us that the mind and body were separate from one another and never the twain shall meet. And while we are emerging out of that, what we believe that the mind can affect the body to some degree. But what we still do not get is that the body affects the mind and that the body learns. So what has happened in the educational field and in the speaking field is that we have had neck-up learning only in school, where we sit and we passively listen. and we do not learn from sitting passively and listening. Unequivocally, categorically, never learn that way. And yet it is still what's happening in presentations to this day. So we do not get up and move. We do not use our bodies for learning when we know that the only way that we really learn is when our bodies are completely involved. So that's the third way that we're perpetuating a very old paradigm. And the fourth way comes from the printing press, which was invented in the 1440s. So all of these are Middle Age influences. And the word press came about and created in us, in education, words as being the standard for acquiring knowledge. But before the word press, we learned from oral tradition, and we learned from doing, and we learned from visuals and watching and drawing and all of that. But that was really relegated and pushed away when the word printing press came about. And what has happened is all of that has fallen away. Visuals have fallen away. We have training books that are word upon word upon word. We have that god-awful PowerPoint thing with words, words, words. And words are not effective for the brain. We do not learn effectively or nearly as fast as we do with visuals and all other styles. So when we are giving presentations where we are very kind of removed and staid and unemotional, right, that's the Puritans. When we're asking people to just sit as individuals and not collaborate, when we are asking them to learn, listen passively and do nothing else, and finally when we're pummeling them with words, we are absolutely entrenched in old paradigm presenting, and virtually everybody is. And so I am on a mission to move everybody out of the old paradigm and into the new paradigm, which is the opposite of all those, right? The opposite. And it also taps the brain.
Well, it's a wonder we've gotten anything out of those conferences and presentations.
It is, right?
And you know, I think that it also explains why I'm always so exhausted when I go to these things.
Yeah, right.
You know, because it is exhausting. I was just talking about that. I was, even though I enjoy the event that I was at, you still feel wiped out from
yeah,
the experience.
Because there aren't. Excuse me, there aren't the chemicals we have. We're always being spurt with chemicals in our bodies. I'm so sorry. And, you know, we're getting the wrong ones being sent through our system. And that's why we get tired and bored and all of that.
Yeah, that glazed eyes glazed over kind of experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So why is now, like, why is this system that you're teaching, why is it so important and relevant right now?
Oh, gosh, I love that. First of all, I want to acknowledge you for being so free with speaking about the consciousness of the planet and opening this teleseminar today, this telecall, with the visualization that you did, and speaking in a way that's very free. You know, you're not afraid of those who will not understand you. And I admire that, because I'm not sure I'm fully there at the place of speaking what I have fully inside of me to say all the time about how our world is changing unbelievably rapidly, and we are coming into a time of awakening. Humanity is awakening, and the reason this is so relevant is because when we are tapping the brain, and this is just going to sound very trite, it is anything but it's trite, it's going to sound trite, is that when we've tapped the brain, we have tapped the spirit, we have tapped the heart. And there's just no way. There's no way to tap the brain and not have the entire body and all of the emotions and all the chemicals changing in a body. And I believe that this is the time when we are all accelerating. We all must start to feel and live into our bodies more. But as leaders, as conscious entrepreneurs who are here as leaders, We're the light bringers, the way showers. And we have got to be self-expressed ourselves and be able to lead that way, but we must be able to bring others into a place of transformation, into a place where they are fully feeling, fully out of that Puritan, out of the limitation, out of the box that we have been in for centuries and thousands of years. I really believe we're breaking through a tremendous barrier here right now at this time. And what I teach and what my mission is, certainly, but what I teach really accelerates and facilitates what I believe is needed right now, which is the transformation, where people are changed and they are moving out of that old paradigm, even as uncomfortable as it is to leave it because we know it so well. It is time. It is time to have a go and to move into something completely different. And knowing and understanding the brain and certainly how it learns and processes, because we're leaders, so we need to teach, is critical. And it is the path. I have seen it, witnessed it, done it, achieved it, of transforming people.
This is exciting news to me because in some of the circles that I've run, and even me previously, I've done it too. You know, the brain is poo-pooed, you know, as the problem. And so I love this integration that you're speaking to where the brain integrates with the heart and the spirit. And it's something that's come into my awareness intuitively over the past few years that, you know, perhaps we just misunderstand a number of things.
Right.
Just a few things here and there we might be misunderstanding. And so I would love for you, I know that you really can't go into the specifics because I know it's a whole experiential thing of how you teach folks how to integrate this brain technology in their presentations. But I would love for you to speak a bit to this new paradigm of public speaking and kind of give us an overview of how we tap into the brain and how that makes a difference.
Okay. First and foremost, it begins with energy. I teach about this wonderful brain cell called, I get very excited when I talk about the brain. There's this wonderful brain cell called a mirror neuron in all of us. And a mirror neuron, do you know what it is?
No.
Okay. A mirror neuron, I'll tell the story of how it came about 10 years ago in Parma, Italy, in a lab, a neuroscience lab. This monkey was hooked up with electrodes to a monitor. And whenever he did anything, took any action, the monitor beeped, beep, 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 beep. And then, you know, some researchers left for lunch, and he was left by himself. And when they came back in the door after lunch, one of them had an ice cream cone. This monkey had stopped doing anything. It was just sitting there. It was doing no activity whatsoever. It was still. And as soon as this research aide came in the door licking the ice cream cone, the monitor started beeping like crazy. But this monkey was not doing anything to activate this monitor. And this created a cascade of research into what was happening with that monkey. And what was happening with that monkey was that his brain was lighting up as if he were licking and eating that ice cream cone. The same areas in the brain of that research aide, the same areas that were lighting up when that research aide was licking it, the same area was lighting up in also called empathy neurons. Our neurons, our mirror neurons, light up when we are witnessing somebody else do something. Right? And that's how it is that we can understand them and we can feel like we are taking the movement that they're taking, for instance. But what came a little bit later was the recognition that these mirror neurons went just as crazy and active when watching people with their emotions. So emotions are unbelievably contagious. And when I teach my students about this, which I do, I talk all about this in the beginning of the two-day, set the stage for this because it's so critical to everything else. And what I say to them, and I just lost my train of thought of what I was going with there.
The emotions are contagious.
Yes, thank you. Emotions are contagious. And when it's instantaneous. And not only do we feel, let's just say somebody is on stage, okay, and they're smiling, or let's just say they're gesticulating wildly, which is like me, right? I'm very passionate on stage and my arms are flailing around. Your mirror neurons are going to be active as though you are gesticulating also, to a milder degree, but that's what it's going to be like. Then when I'm emoting and smiling and starting to have some emotion, the same thing's going to happen, where you're going to feel as if you're having the feeling that I'm having on a milder scale, but absolutely. And it's instantaneous. And what's also happening in that transmission is that you are also getting the intention behind the emotion. So when people are a little fake, but they're smiling, we know it. Our mirror neurons are going, I don't know, I'm feeling that smile, but I'm also feeling the fakeness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I say to people, we are wired intuitively in our bellies for sure, but absolutely from our mirror neurons as well. We can trust our intuition when we're sensing an emotion that doesn't feel aligned. And so I say to everyone, in my when I'm teaching this, is that you better watch out who you hang out with. It's literally, because emotions are contagious. And somebody who is, the research shows that person who is the most socially dominant person in the room, and we all can experience being in relationships, even one-on-one, where one person is a little bit more socially dominant, that person, emotions flow from the socially dominant person in the room to the less. So we can be very swayed by the emotions of other people, and we need to be careful who we're in the room with. And the same absolutely is true. This is why mirror neurons are leadership tools, because we, as the leaders in a room, are the socially dominant person in the room. So our emotions are contagious. And so when you ask me what is the new paradigm really all about, it's a big question, and I had to really center myself to think, how can I answer this? But the way that I answer it is to say that the new paradigm starts and ends with the energy that you are presenting and putting out. And that's, of course, where we have to purge the Puritans so that we are fully there and present and not in our stuck in our intellect, but down into our hearts. Because what's happening is, if we are intellectual and in the Puritan mindset where we're thinking that maturity is very professional and this is how we should be and we should sort of be flat when we're speaking, then how do you think the mirror neurons, what do you think is happening to the mirror neurons in the audience?
Yeah.
They're going to be just as flat. And that means that the people in your audience are going to be flat emotionally. And that is the, if I could, make the new paradigm pivot around one thing, it would be that there has got to be emotion in the room. You have got to have emotion, and you have, and it will be contagious, and it has to, you have to know how to manage that emotion and know what emotion you want the audience feeling, because they are going to mirror you. And the new paradigm is really all about an energy management. It's not, I mean, that's what it is underneath at the roots, And I do talk about that extensively at the two-day. But it's about so much more, it's about more concrete things than that, should I say. But what I'm making sure, I teach two sequences, and the sequences ensure that there is this emotional ride going in the room where people are not bored and where people are transforming and they're having the time of their life and they're learning. So, to your very big question, that's the best way I can answer it, is that the new paradigm is all about, starts with you and your emotion and your energy, because the mirror neurons in your audience are going to be activated by you, and you better know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, I'm loving this. I'm loving what I'm hearing. I think this could also probably explain, why if you feel uncertain or you feel, wobbly, if you're going up to speak, that, you come across that way and people can pick it up.
They will. They will automate. It's an automatic transmission. And
yeah.
you may pretend and like to think it's not, but it is.
Yeah. And I'm also
And I don't want to scare anybody either and say, "Oh, you can never be afraid." Because my Lord, you know, I still get stomach butterflies when I get on stage too. So I don't want anybody to think that's bad and wrong to be a little bit nervous, but there are certainly ways to present to overcome that, you know.
Well, you know, and as someone who's performed, you know, as a cabaret singer, I will tell you this too. That feeling that you have of nervousness is actually energy.
Yes, right.
Right? So
yeah.
it's just a matter of understanding that's energy that's coming through you that wants expression. And so what if we reoriented around those, you know, pre-performance, you know, pre-experience nerves and said, whoa, this is just energy wanting to move through me. So, yeah, cool.
Exactly, yeah. It's reframing what we're interpreting it to mean.
Yeah, yeah. I'm also hearing, this is so awesome. I'm loving this, Elizabeth. Thank you. I'm also hearing that, wow, we can finally relax and be authentic.
Yes.
That's actually kind of like the only thing that works.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, 100 times. Yes, right. And that's what my, you know, whether they're coming through my public speaking or they're coming through my brain sticky business, that those first two stages of that four-part path, that's what they all say to me is, oh, my God, because I teach you how to sell, you know, in a way. And they always say, oh, my God, I'm finally me. Yeah.
Well, you know, and that really does speak to one of the big the hurdles, the sticking point that conscious entrepreneurs have. They're like, you know, I don't want to sound salesy. I want to sound like me, and I'm really very excited about the work that I do. I know that it works. I know that I've got a process, a system. You know, my clients get results. And, you know, how do I get this across in a way that feels good? So that's what it sounds like happens in this training also.
Well, in the business one, yeah,
mm-hmm.
the first two parts of the path are absolutely about finding your voice. And I really believe that people need to stop. Well, I don't really believe. I absolutely believe that everybody has got to end their fascination with external authority. Meaning even their competition. You know, I think a lot of us look to our competition who have done bigger things than we have, and we say, okay, they're an authority that we need to listen to, and we need to do things the way they're doing it. And the answer is unequivocally no. You have to stop, and you have to listen to yourself and find what your body is telling you is the right thing to say. Now, many coaches want to do that, and they still aren't saying things the right way. I mean, it's not compelling enough, and it doesn't create that urgency to buy. But when you combine your true belief system, what you really, really, I teach people what to say as if they're standing on top of a mountain, you know, as if they're Martin Luther King. What would you say? And I teach them this whole thing that enables them to sell and present in a way that they feel, well, they understand that they're transforming people. They're not selling. And that's very, very important, is to stop looking outside yourself to what other people are doing to sell and find your inside authority.
Yeah. You know, I love how even in the online world, and I love that the online world is actually, to me, it's like a litmus test of what's happening energetically everywhere. So, you know, social media, you know, the fact that we're really looking for ways to connect with our tribes, with people who are resonant, who have similar beliefs and dreams and orientations in life. And one of the things that I've been seeing a lot on lately is this whole thing on being authentic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, the external things that have occurred in our world, like even here in the United States, you know, whether it's, you know, oil spills or, you know, Bernie Madoff or, you know, what happens in specific industries like healthcare or banking. It's like we've all gotten to this point where, like, enough already. Where's the real stuff?
We want what's real.
And what I'm hearing also about this new brain research-oriented way of getting your message across, that it's coming back to this, like, basic thing, which is how we're designed, which is about connection. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, connection with ourselves.
Yeah.
And also, equally, connection with others. But I think the self comes first.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you really can't connect to another unless you're connected to yourself, I don't think.
Right. No, neither.
And that is one of the things that we've, you know, we've been trained out of, you know.
Yes.
And
sure,
and especially
have. Yeah.
Yeah, what you're talking about is these external authorities. From the minute we come in, you know, we're handing off our authority externally, you know,
yes,
first at home.
Absolutely, everywhere.
Then at
yeah.
school, you know, then at church. And so then it comes to a point where you need to, you know, own your authority, own your own knowing. And you're challenged in that area because you've never been allowed to. You've been programmed out of it.
It's very scary, yeah.
Yeah, so I wonder if you, just because I know that we're coming up on time, and I do want you to talk a little bit about, you know, the specifics of the training that's coming up, that I'm very excited because I'm going to be going.
Oh, I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, but with this, how do you, especially if you've been so entrained over time where you're doubting yourself all the, you know, you're doubting, like, even like if you're going to take a course, for example, some people might be thinking, well, you know, Elizabeth sounds great, but, you know, I'm not really sure. Like, how do you strengthen that voice, that inner voice of authority?
Oh, God, I love that question. And I don't know that I can say anything to that except my own process. And I'm in the process right now of really almost putting myself in training personally to get to that place where I am really filtering out all external authority and listening only to myself. So I am no authority, right? So nobody listen to me. But what I can say is I know my body tells me.
Hmm.
My body tells me. And if there's a hit of, oh, yeah, you know, I have to go to that, I listen to that. I listen to the feeling in my body. And I was just talking to somebody yesterday who we were talking about how that feeling, that intuition, is in the same place in the body, at least for me, as fear. So I can get them mixed up. So if you're talking about going to an event or making a decision about something like that, and so I would have a first moment that would say, oh, yeah, gotta go, that sounds amazing. And then in the same place in my body, there would be, oh, you're like a kick in the gut, like, oh, no, I don't know, I can't afford it, or I can't this, or I can't that, I can't leave the kids, whatever it is. And then they get kind of mixed like wires, TV wires, you know, and it's hard to pull them apart. And for me, God, that's just such an awesome question, and I don't know that I can answer it except that I believe that we know. I believe that we absolutely know, and when we tell ourselves, when we take that deep breath that you asked us all to take when we started here, take a deep breath and say, I know exactly what can be done and what is possible, then I believe the answer comes when we give ourselves permission to be the authority and say to ourselves, I know what I'm supposed to do. So that's the best I can do. With
I think
an
actually,
awesome question,
I think it's great because I probably answer the same way. And so I think that it's, again, it's this intention to own your own authority around your feeling and sensing, and just to open to that feeling, you know, without judgment and just noticing how it feels. I mean, we know when something feels like a big yes. I mean,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
loud and clear.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And then fear can come in and mask it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's that first, just like when we're taking tests in school, they say, oh, God, they say, you know, trust your first answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
yeah. We've got one question here from Ruth Ellen, and I think I understand it. She's asking, is the subject as important as the energy and emotion?
Well, Yes, absolutely. First of all, to get people in the room, mm-hmm. right? For it to be brain sticky so people even come to it without question. And then, of course, because, you know, you could do the Little Miss Muffet rhyme for 10 hours or something, you know, in a seminar. You could repeat it and repeat it and repeat it with incredible energy and getting people really feeling it. But after a while, you know, the content's a little narrow, a little shallow. So absolutely, there needs to be gritty content. I think that's what she's saying, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're getting?
Yeah, I think so.
And so the combination of the two of them is explosive. And that's why where you get the raving fans. Because
awesome.
We want to intellectually, have to be intellectually satisfied, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Ruth Ellen. If you had more to add to that, if we didn't fully answer your question, please just put some more info in there. But, yeah, and I think that what you're speaking to also here is, you know, exactly this piece about, you know, that we do have to market. We do have to have a clear message. We do have to know who we serve, who's our tribe. Because in everything, the language that we use, the energy with which we interact is going to be speaking specifically to these people.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, we need it all, Ruth Ellen.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Thank
yeah.
you. So I know you've mentioned some things about the training also, but what sets this apart from other public speaking trainings, your upcoming 2-day training?
From other public speaking trainings?
Yeah.
Well, this... It's not teaching platform skills, so I'm not having you learn how to stand and how to walk and make eye contact or even tell stories, which is what most, virtually all others are teaching. I'm really teaching you how to teach because that's what you have to do when you're, I mean, my specialty is not keynoting. Keynoting is a little bit of a different animal. My specialty is in presentations and seminars. And when you are presenting, and I absolutely believe this for keynoting as well, that you are teaching, that you have got to, there's, you know, teaching means something in neuroscience. You know, there are things that are happening in the brain when learning occurs. And that happens whether you're doing a keynote or you're not. But nevertheless, my specialty is with presenting and seminars. And so I am teaching you how to be an amazing teacher. Meaning that you are creating neuronal circuits in the brains of your audiences. So they are remembering what you're saying, which is absolutely key. They're remembering it and they're wanting more because they're so in love with what you're doing. So, you know, in a nutshell, that is what's different about it is this is an advanced skill set. It's really having you become an outstanding teacher with an audience. Which I, you know, you get me up on my soapbox because I'm starting to get really pissed off with how many experts are out there disseminating information, certainly on the internet, and they do not know how to teach at all. And to me, it's just vomiting up on people. I told you I would get up on my soapbox. But it's like they're just vomiting on people, leaving them with information that is completely unmemorable. And not sticky. And I'm in a bit of an outrage about it. You know, I took a teleclass not too long ago with a billionaire, all right? This is a billionaire teaching people, quote-unquote teaching, and it was a six-night event. And I was just appalled at how abysmal she was at teaching. She knows her stuff. She's a billionaire. But does she know how to teach it? No. And that is something that I don't have any tolerance for anymore. And on one of my videos on that sales page you were talking about, I say, if you do not know the sequences I teach, I don't want to learn from you. And I that is true. It's like why I don't want to go to a lot of presentations and seminars and all the rest because I've been ruined. And I've been ruined. I can't enjoy hardly any of them anymore because nobody knows these sequences. And I don't want to learn from you because you're not teaching me. and you're not a teacher. You don't know. And that's what differentiates this.
Wonderful. I wondered, could what you teach at the live presentation, can any of it be applied to a virtual platform?
Yeah. I've been doing this now for years, trying to I couldn't call it squeezing it down into teleclass version. And so there are things that have to go that are key and primary to having the brain learn. It's just not going to be the same. It will not in a virtual setting than in a live setting. But there are the sequences that I teach you can absolutely use to with some modification, and you'll be infinitely better than anybody else out on the web.
Well, awesome. I feel like I'm missing an essential piece for my education. So,
yeah, you are, and so is everybody else, and
yeah.
It's not a big deal, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is a big deal. Excuse me. It's a huge deal. But if you're coming, then you can relax because you'll have that missing piece filled in.
Well, I will, because it's right here. It's in my backyard, and I get to meet you and really dive into this content, which for me, you know, I'm in the business of transformation.
Right.
That's my work. So finding ways that make me more effective as a presenter and as someone who has a body of work and has content that I really want to share with others, it's really... really
I'm
important.
Very excited about being able to give you a different vantage point from which you can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me give folks the link if they want to go check it out, because the training is coming up, and I know that you're giving a fabulous offer to the folks at the Conscious Business Community. So it's consciousbusinesstribe.com/stickypresentations, and I'll say that again. And if you're on the speaker page, all you need to do is click that link. consciousbusinesstribe.com/stickypresentations, and you've got this great offer about bringing a friend too, which I really I've got one of my buddies here that I'm going to talk into coming with me.
Yeah, right now when you go to the sales page, it's going to say bring a friend for $200,
mm-hmm.
and for until June 5th, and only for you guys, only for the Conscious Summit guys. So I'm not. Nobody else will know about this, is I'm giving it bring a friend free.
Okay.
So instead of bring a friend for $200, it's bring a friend free.
So
and all you need to do is you can still use that registration form on there and fill it out. It won't matter. The $200 does not equate in this in when you purchase it today, so or whenever you do. So it's the amount that's there, you pay it, and then you just work it out with a friend. But, you know, you have to let me know who the friend is and all the details. But that friend can come for free until June 5th for
okay.
Conscious business owners.
June 1st?
Oh, so 4th. Excuse me. It is the 1st.
Yeah.
It is the 1st. I was thinking for something. Yeah.
Yes.
The 1st.
So June 1st. And so there's nothing that they have to put on the order form.
No, there's nothing they have to do, even though it says 200,
uh-huh.
bring a friend for 200, there's nothing different about what they have to do.
Okay, great.
They just can register just the way it is right there, and I will know they are from you, and they will be able to bring a friend free until the 1st.
Yeah, and there's some great bonuses that you're including on that.
Yeah, Lou Bortone is coming.
I know. I'm looking forward to meeting him, and he's going to do like a 1 to 2 minute video of folks.
Yeah, of homepage video,
or
really any video that you might want to go out on the web. He'll pull you aside, and if you want him to, and he will do that for you and then deliver it back to you.
Yeah, and I know that there's also a one-on-one session with you.
One-on-one session with me, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a $300 value of 45 minutes.
Yeah, wonderful.
So lots of great things.
Very exciting. So, folks, if you're interested, you know, feel in, see if this is for you, if it's a next step for you. I'd love to meet you there because I will certainly be there. consciousbusinesstribe.com/stickypresentations. Elizabeth, it has been so wonderful to have you here. I'm so glad I got to share you with everyone at the Conscious Business Telesummit.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so glad we met.
Me too. And thank you, everyone, for being here today. And we will have 3 interviews next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Until then, have a fabulous day and a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Stella.
Bye-bye.